Turning our Bibles to Luke chapter 10, in my last prayer letter that I sent out, I talked about three men, Jones and Evelijah and Joseph Alden. Joseph Alden, the pastor, young pastor there. They're both going to be involved in reinitiating this work there in Piloto. Jones has a family member that lives there, and that's going to be a foot in the door. And that's very important because the chief is very finicky, and this is the first time he's ever let anybody come in to that village. He just doesn't let nobody come in except the Catholic priest. And so this is a new thing that he has done, allowing us to come and teach in the school, and now to be able to start this work up there. So pray for the chief and also pray for these men. Jones has worked with me for the last 3 years. I've been giving him a type of seminary training, and he's priested the church about 15 times since we began studying together. And Evelijah is a lumberjack who knows everybody everywhere. I mean, he knows everybody within 200 miles of that place. He knows them. So he's been to all of these villages and has a good relationship. So he'll be a positive plus in helping us to reach the hearts of these people with the gospel message. So pray for these three men. Got their names in prayer. I know they're hard names. Joseph Aldo, Jonis, and Evelijah. I know they're hard names, but you can just pronounce them any way you want to. The Lord knows who you're talking about. Okay, Luke chapter 10, and I just want to share just a brief message about making right choices and how we need to consider where our choices are going to lead us. Five basketball players going down the court, they go down the court just one time. They're going to make a series of choices that will determine their success or their failure. I mean, lots of choices. That's why the coach, he's got them out there every day of the week, and they're practicing. He's putting them in certain situations. He wants them to know how to make the right choice. That's what we're doing today in church. You come to church, you hear the preaching this morning, and the pastor and the teachers are trying to help you make right choices and to consider where the choices you are making are going to lead you. You know, over in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 29, God the Father speaking of His chosen people, Israel. And this is what He says. Oh, that they were wise. He said, I wish my people were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. And in effect, He was just saying, I wish my people were wise and they would consider where the choices that they're making right now are going to lead them. You know, one day we're going the Lord's going to reveal to us where our choices led us, past tense. It'll be too late then. Right now, we can go into the throne of grace and we can let the Lord reveal to us where our choices will lead us, future tense. He can help us make the right choice. His word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. He wants to give us that direction and warn us of those dangerous ways that we might choose. And so We can have help right now. It'll be bad if we have to wait and just find out where our choices led us and not allow Him to show us where they will lead us. Moses made a choice over in Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. Said, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. In other words, the choice that Moses made when he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, when he made that choice, it was a revelation of his estimation of what was really important in life. The choices that we made yesterday are a revelation of what we consider to be the most important things in life. And that's why we need to stop and look back over the week and consider the choices that we make and where those choices led us. And we need to consider where the choices for this week are going to lead us. We need to make the right choices. You know, Joshua thought that choices were important. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I talked about Jonas. And he's one of the guys that's going to help us in Piloto. Well, a few years ago, Jones and Zach Caraca, a guy named Zach Caraca. Caraca means bald head. And Zach Caraca, Zad the bald head is what they call him. But everybody knew him in town. Everybody knew of his reputation along with Jonas. They were like two dogs going through town knocking over trash cans. That's not what they did. But they had a reputation for being the life of the party. At any time there was a festivity where there was alcoholic beverage involved, they were right in the middle of it. I mean, they were the life of the party throughout Barcelos. And everybody wanted them to be at their party. These two guys had a reputation in town. And one day I convinced both of them to come into the church and sat on the front row. They wouldn't come when people were there. So we just came one Monday morning. They sat down on the front row. We did a Bible study. They came back a couple of days, 3 days, and we did Bible studies. And they earned a Bible. At the end of that time, I asked them, I said, wouldn't you like to trust Christ as your Savior? Oh, no, we don't want to do that, you know. And they went on about their way, never came back to church again. Until a couple of years later, Zacharaka didn't come back, but Jonas came back and on a Sunday night. And I preached, and after the service, he came up to me and he said, Pastor Brucey, can we do one of those Bible studies again? Can we do that same Bible study we did before? And I said, well, yeah, we can do it. And so he came on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We did those Bible studies. And I told Lynn, he is so into these Bible studies, he is going to get saved. I know he's going to get saved. Amen. And I was just biding my time to Wednesday. And I asked him, I said, Jonas, wouldn't you like to trust Christ as your Savior? And he said, oh, well, I've already done that. I said, what? He said, and he told me a story. I didn't know anything about it, but the week before, his daughter, 9 years old, Fernanda, started having some pain in her side, and she went to the hospital, and there were a bunch of nurses there, but there were no doctors. And they determined that her appendix were about to burst. And I'm not sure if they burst or not, or did they burst? They burst. Well, she had to get to a doctor, a surgeon, who could do the surgery, but this is what the nurses at the hospital said. There is no surgeon in town right now. There is no surgeon. He couldn't get a plane. There's no planes there, but sometimes somebody can fly a plane up and take them in about an hour to get up there, an hour to get back. And then you couldn't take the fast boat because it's just like that for like 12 hours. You couldn't take the slow boat because there wasn't a slow boat going at that time. It really wouldn't be fast enough. She needed surgery right then. And he said that he went back to his house. He went into his bedroom and he got on his knees and he asked the Lord to save him. He didn't come and ask me what to do because he already knew what to do. The seed had been planted. He knew exactly what he needed to do. And he repented of his sin and trusted the Lord to save him. And he went back to the hospital. And when he got there, these are the words that he used. He said, a surgeon appeared. Now, the nurses said there wasn't a surgeon in town. So they didn't know about it. But he just said a surgeon appeared, did the surgery, and saved his daughter's life. And then he comes in on Sunday night and says, I want to do another Bible study. Well, he's already saved. I just didn't know it. And when we got through, he starts to go home. And he says, do you have any more Bible studies? I said, well, I got a bunch of them. But I figured it was going to be like everybody else. They want to do a Bible study for a few weeks. They come back, and about the third week, they don't show up again. And I thought, man, you are a terrible Bible teacher. They always quit after about 3 weeks. But he never quit. He came back 2 times a week for 3 years until the very last week that I was in Barcelos last year. He came for his Bible study. His wife began to share with Lynn how he had begun to make some choices in his life. And he was making the right choices. He was hitting on all cylinders. And he was choosing a path that was going to lead him to great success and usefulness in the work of the Lord. She said that they would go home. They have a store in town. And said they would go home at 12 o'clock to eat. And all the stores close until 2 o'clock. And they eat. They take a nap. 2 o'clock, they're back at the store. Well, she said that they would go home. They would eat. And while everybody else was taking a nap, he'd stay up and he'd study the Bible. And then she would go back to the store. He'd stay another hour and study the Bible. And then he would come, and me and him would study the Bible on a couple of days a week. And he just began to grow and began to become a really great servant of the Lord. One of our men, a few months later, after we had a men's meeting, he said, man, he's got something that we need. Amen. I mean, the people were recognizing it. Lynn was sitting in front of the store and with Netta, his wife. And they were sitting in the chair talking. And when there's no customers, they'd take their chairs and they sit on the sidewalk and just talk to whoever comes by. Well, they were sitting there talking and some ladies came down the street. And they stopped and they said, hey, Netta, tell Jonas and Zacharaka that there's going to be a big party Friday night. They're not going to want to miss it. And Netta's not even saved. But she stands up and she's so proud. She says, he don't drink no more. And I mean, it was, she was really glad about that. But it wasn't long before he was able to lead her to the Lord and his children to the Lord. And they're faithful members of the church. And they're going to be helping with this new work. But you see, this man, he made a good choice. He chose to get on his knees and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to save him from his sin. And then he began to open his mouth wide that the Lord would fill it. Remember what the song, what it says in the Psalms? I'm the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it. He opened the door for the abundant blessings of God to come in his life, and he's been used in a great way. And if we look at his life, we can think about it. Where his choices led him. It led him to a wonderful place. It led him to a wonderful place. We have a story here in Luke chapter 10 of two sisters. They were wonderful people who had a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Martha and Mary, and then their brother Lazarus. They were close to the Lord. The Lord loved them, and they loved the Lord. And they knew the Lord was coming that day to their house, Martha and Mary. And they got excited. And they both wanted the same thing. They wanted to please God with their service. They wanted the Lord to be well pleased with their service. And so they both made a choice, but their choices were different. Mary made a choice that led her to great fulfillment that day. Martha made a choice that led her to great frustration. Now, both of them wanted to please God. Now, we want to do the work that God's called us to do, and we have it in our mind. We imagine what it's going to be like, but sometimes we're serving the Lord, and it's not all that we imagined that it would be. It's because we've chosen the wrong path to get to that place of service. And I want us to take a look at this tonight, just for a few moments. Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42, we'll read these scriptures, and I'll share four things with you that if you choose the right path, four places it'll lead you to. Verse number 38, and it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came in and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you bless the reading of your word, and do for us what you did for the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Make our hearts burn within us as you show us the scriptures tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now what we see here is that Mary, according to the Lord, Mary chose that good part that wouldn't be taken away. Well, what did she choose to do? She chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear his word. That was the good part. That's what you have chosen on this Lord's Day. You've chosen to come to the house of God and to be among God's people in God's presence and hear God's word, to sit at Jesus' feet and for the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. That's a good part that you've chosen that will not be taken away from you. And this is something you've chosen, a choice you've made that's going to help you get to where the Lord wants you to be. He wants to take you somewhere with that. And I want you to notice four things tonight. First of all, if you choose the right path on any given day, if you choose the right path, it will always lead you to the right person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. She chose a path, Mary chose a path that led her to the feet of Jesus. And for her, there was nothing that was more important than sitting at the feet of Jesus that day. There was nothing that was going to precede that. She guarded her relationship with the Lord. And he was supreme in her heart. And she guarded that relationship. He was the most important person in her life. And like the psalmist in Psalm 73:25, she was able to say, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. There was no person, no possession. There was no position on this earth she desired above the Lord. Her relationship with him was number one. She chose a path that led her to the right person. Over in Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, when the Lord had ordained his 12 disciples, this is what the scripture says. And he ordained 12 for two reasons. Number one, he ordained 12 that they should be with him. That fellowship. To be with him. Number two, that he might send them forth to preach. And so that worship and that being with the Lord preceded the service. And that's where Martha messed up. Martha chose a path that did not lead her to the feet of Jesus. Any day that we look at all the tasks we've got to do. And we're talking about things for the Lord that we've got to do. And we think that we've got so much to do that we cannot afford to sit down and have our devotion to sit at the feet of Jesus to hear His Word. If we make that choice, we've chosen the wrong path. Because if you choose the right path, it'll always lead you to the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5 talks about the believers at Macedonia. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. And that's the first thing we need to do during the day. So the first thing, if you choose the right path, it will lead you to the right person. The second thing, if you choose the right path, it will lead you to the right priorities. Luke chapter 10 verse 39, again, Mary, we see that she sat at Jesus' feet and heard His Word. For Mary, the Word of God, that day, maybe not only every day, but on that day, the Word of God was a priority. Like Job, she esteemed His words more than her necessary food. She considered the Word of God to be important. If you choose a path that doesn't lead you to the right priority, that doesn't make the Word of God a priority on that day, you've chosen the wrong path. And it's not going to take you to where you want to go, to where God wants to take you. You've got to have that right priority. And you know, Mary was one who often waited upon the Lord. I'm one who often runs ahead and has to go back and get something squared away and then go a little bit further because I'm ready to go. The Lord says, go. I'm gone. But I've learned something from my brother who worked in construction. He said that before he went out on the job, he finally learned to spend more time in preparation, to get all his ducks in a row before he headed out and make sure he had all of his tools, visualize what he's going to do on the job site and all the materials. And if he needed to get something at Home Depot, he'd get it on the way. Instead of having to run back and get a tool, he forgot to run back to Home Depot to get something. And he said, I saved so much time when I learned to spend more time in preparation. And haste does make waste. I know that from personal experience, a lot of waste because I ran forward and didn't take the proper time for proper preparation. The right priority is so important in our life. If we choose the right path, it leads us to the right priority. It leads us to the right person. And that's something that Martha did not do. She chose a path that it looks like led her back to herself. And she trusted in the arm of the flesh. She trusted in herself because that day, and I'm just looking at the story. Here she is. I could imagine her looking at Martha or Mary at the feet of Jesus, hearing His Word. And I could imagine her saying, Mary, I did that the last time the Lord was here. I was sitting at His feet. I was hearing His Word, but I've already heard. I've already done that. And now I'm going to serve the Lord with every bit of my energy. I'm going to throw all of my life into serving the Lord today. And at the end of this day, the Lord's going to come up and say, Martha, well done, my good and faithful servant. She had it in her mind what she's going to do, but she had all of her trust in herself to get it done. And she didn't realize the truth. Without me, ye can do nothing. And so she was missing a real important element right there. And what she was willing to do was sacrifice her devotion to the Lord, sacrifice her relationship with the Lord, the time she would spend alone with Him. She was going to sacrifice that for something of lesser value. And the something of lesser value is of great value. It's our service for the Lord. That's great. That's something that the Lord wants us to do, to preach the gospel to every creature. But He doesn't want us to sacrifice our relationship with Him. Because the key to that service is our relationship with Him. He called 12 that they might be with Him, that He might send them forth to preach. And what she did, she exalted her labor above her Lord. That was a big mistake. She thought that what she was going to do for the Lord that day was more important than sitting at His feet and hearing His Word. A big mistake that she was making, a mistake that oftentimes we make. So she chose a path that led her to the wrong person, herself, the wrong priorities. Her priority was her labor and not her Lord. And then, thirdly, she chose a path that led her to the wrong perception of herself. The wrong perception of herself. She didn't see things as clearly as she should have. Now listen, if Martha had chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear His Word, then what would have happened? If there was any ounce of pride in her heart or self-confidence that shouldn't have been there, the Lord would have dealt with that and revealed it to her because the presence of the Lord, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And when you come into the presence of the light of the world, you're going to see things more clearly. And they've got the light of God's Word. The priority of being the Word of God. And when you come into the light of the Word and you're in the presence of the light of the world, then you're going to be able to see very clearly to know what choice you need to take. This is the problem today. Here's the light of God's Word. And society has gradually moved away from that light. I talked to a preacher Thursday, and you know what he told me? He said his father was not even saved. This was years ago. This is a man that's probably in his late 60s. He said, my father would come home on Sunday. He'd work half a day on Sunday. And we'd say, hey, let's go fishing. He said, you don't go fishing. If you're going to do anything on Sunday, you go to church. They didn't go to church. He wasn't even saved, but he knew. And you know what gets me is 40, 50 years ago, the person that didn't even go to church and wasn't even saved had a clearer understanding of things than a lot of people do inside the churches today. I mean, you know, the reason is society and even churches have moved away from the light of God's Word. And the further you move away from the light, the more you come into darkness. And then you begin to think about these different issues in life. And you say, man, I used to think this was wrong, but I'm not so sure anymore. I just can't see clearly enough to know because of our moving away from God's Word. You get over here and you say, well, I'm not sure. These guys over here in society, they don't even know what bathroom to go. I mean, they have some real problems because they can't see clearly. And it sounds, you think, are they kidding when you hear them talking on TV? Are they kidding? They've got to be kidding. They really believe what they're saying because they're out here so far away from the light of God's Word that they cannot make a right judgment. And the only hope that we've got is to come close to God's Word. If we're going to really make progress as Christians, we've got to stay close to the light of the world and the light of the Word. We've got to come to that place and it'll give us the right perception of ourselves. And then there's a fourth thing. If we choose the right path, it'll always lead us to the right person, Jesus Christ. It'll always lead us to the right priority, the Word of God. It'll always lead us to the right perception of ourselves. Without Him, we can do nothing. And then the last thing, it'll always lead us, if we choose the right path, to the right place in our relationship with Him. The right place, and I don't speak of a geographical location. The right place means a place where God can bless us abundantly, where He can use us in a great way. And He tried to bring His children, the children of Israel, to the right place, the promised land. And they said, no, we won't go. A place where He would have blessed them. And you know what? They died 20 years upward, died in the wilderness, never knowing what it was to be greatly used of God or greatly blessed of God. God has some great things for them over there in the promised land. They wouldn't go. The Bible says they turned back. They tempted God. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. They closed the door to what God wanted to do in their life. A Christian can do that. He can close the door and by making the wrong choice, a choice of self-reliance rather than a choice of relying upon God, a choice of laboring for the Lord in our own way instead of going the proper course, which is to go to Him and to be with Him and to worship Him, to guard our relationship with Him, and then He'll lead us into great heights of service. And so this right place, I want you to know something about it. Look at what happened to Martha. When she chose that wrong path, it led her to the wrong place. Look at it. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And you see, that was a very ugly episode in Martha's life. She would like to have taken that back because it was not a beautiful thing. It was an ugly thing. But on the other side, Mary had chosen a path that led her to great fulfillment. And it was a beautiful thing where the Lord led her to. And it sort of reminds me of Psalms 81 where God the Father, speaking of His people, He said, I'm the Lord thy God. And what He's basically saying, you don't need these other gods in Canaan land. I'm the Lord your God. And He said, I'm yours. And what He's basically saying, and you're mine. You belong to me. I belong to you. Like the song says, Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From Him no power of evil can sever. He gave His life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. And that relationship, that intimacy that we have, He belongs to us. We belong to Him. My beloved is mine and I'm His. His desire is towards me over there in Song in Solomon. And that's a beautiful thing. And what God wants to do, if you'll choose the right path day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, then the Lord will bring you to this beautiful place in your life, in your relationship with Him. And it's beautiful. We can see the beauty in two things. We can see that beauty as we close out in the faithfulness that there is one to another. God's faithfulness to us is not in question. He's faithful. But our faithfulness can be in question. I was in a church on a Sunday morning last year there in Barcelos. And I was at the back shaking hands after the service. And a little lady, 84 years old, she's about that tall, real short. Well, she's about that tall. She's up here on the podium. But she was the shortest lady. She was as short as like the fourth graders. But she was a great lady of the Lord. She's always watching and perceiving what's going on. She came back to the door and she said, "Pastor Brucey." She said, "That's a beautiful thing." And I said, "Don't you can't. What's a beautiful thing?" She said that up there. I said, I looked up there and there was Sergeant Azael. He was getting the microphone cords and wrapping them up. He was putting away my projector. He was going out and back, make sure the doors were locked. He was doing everything I would have done when everybody left the church. I never asked him to do those things. But Sergeant Azael was an example of faithful service in his local church. We rode on the boat 24 hours up from Manaus. We got out at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, rode with him and his wife and his little boy all the way up to Barcelos. And we had a conversation with him. Lynn invited them to come to church. And we got there at midnight on Saturday night. And the next morning at 8:30, they were at church. And they served for 2 years in the military there. They never missed again. They came and they were Johnny on the spot every service. And when he came, he would come to every activity we had, he'd come and he would look to see if there was any gap that he could fill in, any service that he could render. He was looking for an opportunity to serve. He was a very talented person, but we never knew it for several months. Because all he did, there was no service too low for him to do. He was there as a servant. And don't think that our people didn't see it. Our people were watching. And Donna Shekinah had been watching that for a couple of months. And she came to me and said, "That's a beautiful thing up there." Amen. In her eyes. She wasn't the only one watching. The Lord looking down over that situation. And he was watching Sergeant Azael. And his faithfulness was beautiful in God's sight. Your faithfulness in your local church and how you serve the Lord here and the things that He's given you to do in your local church, that faithfulness is a beautiful thing in God's sight. That's the place He wants to bring you to if you'll choose the right path every day that leads you to the right person, the right priority, the right perception of yourself. It'll take you to this right place, this good place, beautiful place. You can see the beauty in the faithfulness. There's a second thing. You can see the beauty in the feelings that there is one for another. And we read the Bible. The preacher preaches and we come across verses and scripture that talks about how God feels concerning us. And it's exciting to us. It's a beautiful thing when we see how God loves us in the scriptures. We get excited about that. But you know what? On the other side, He gets excited. And it's a beautiful thing in His sight when He sees the feelings that you have for Him. Azael's son, David, he was 1 year old when he came to Barcelos. He was 3 years old when he left last year. But David would come to church with his parents 30 minutes early. Lynn would be working on the junior age boys and girls stuff over here. I'd be working on something with the music. And he'd come through that door and he'd start running. And you could just tell by the look on his face, there wasn't nowhere he'd rather be than right where he was at. He'd come up there, "Donna Lynn," he'd give her a hug, and he'd call me BB, BB, and he'd give me a hug. And then he'd get up in front of the pulpit, and he was just like that, looking at the doors. He's waiting for the next person to come through. And when they came, he ran and gave them a hug. He loved everybody at church, and everybody loved him. So much so that his father said that on Mondays, he'd come home from work, and he'd say, "Come on, David, I'm going to take you up to the park. We're going to play." And he'd go up there, and on the way, he'd have to pass in front of the church. When he'd go in front of the church door, he said, "David, see the church?" And he'd go, "Church, church!" And he said he'd have to drag him away. "No, they don't have service on Monday. No, there's nobody there. Come on, David, let's go play." He'd drag him up to the playground to have fun. But he loved the house of the Lord. It reminds me of the psalmist in Psalms 27 and verse 4. He said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Your feelings for God's people, for being at God's house, for hearing God's word, your feelings for Him, that's a beautiful thing in His sight. And He'll bring you to a place, this beautiful place in your life, to where your feelings for Him will grow. And your faithfulness to Him will grow. And it'll be beautiful in God's sight, beautiful in the sight of God's people too. God wants to bring you to that place, but you've got to make the right choice. Consider where your choices are going to lead you. That's a very important idea that we need to think about every day. You know, I was thinking about that. We close out tonight. I was thinking about how choices have led people to certain places. There was a lady, and she was dying of some kind of liver problem. Some drinking-related problem. She had drunk all of her life till she was 50 years old. And this lady, the name is Darlene, and she didn't live in town, but she would go to these jungle villages when they'd have these big parties, and she loved to go. And she would drink and party, and she'd done that all of her life. And now she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You've got about 2 years left to live, 2 months left to live. You need to go home and say bye to your folks." And she came to Barcellas. And Donna Shekinah, the one that talked to me at the back door of the church, she's the one that was her daughter. And she came to me and she said, "Would you and Donna Lynn go and have a Bible study with Darlene?" We said, "Sure, we went." And we had a Bible study, had several Bible studies with her. And she understood about sin and its consequences. We could tell that the Holy Spirit was speaking to her heart. She understood what Jesus did to solve the problem of sin. She understood what she needed to do to believe on the Lord to save her from her sin. And as we talked, at the end of that time, I said, "Darlene, wouldn't you like to trust Christ as your Savior?" And she said, "No, I don't think I'm ready." And we went over all that stuff again. "You believe all this, don't you?" Yes, I believe it. "But I'm not ready." And I didn't know why she wouldn't make that decision until the next day. Her mother told me that she had went back to one of these jungle towns. They were having a big bash. And she wanted to be involved in it, knowing that she only had 2 months left to live. Now, my hope is that sometime during that time, I never saw her again after that, but sometime during that time that the Holy Spirit opened her eyes to those truths again. And she had an opportunity to make that choice to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to save her from her sin. But, you know, that choice is the most important choice that we have to make. It's a choice to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sin, our greatest problem. Sin that's going to cause separation and suffering. Sin that will bring eternal death, the second death, eternal separation from God forever. That sin is taking us where we don't want to go. She could have been saved from it. And she may have been. I sure would like to get to heaven to find out that she made the right choice. But that day she didn't. She made the wrong choice. And I wonder if there might be somebody here tonight that needs to make that right choice, that's been thinking about it. I used to think when I was 14, when I was 20, I'm going to get saved. And it didn't work out that way. I got saved at 14. I got a little cold feet and said, "I better go ahead and get saved." But the Lord was working in my heart. And you know, as far as us as Christians, there's a beautiful place the Lord wants to bring you to. But you've got to make a choice day after day to sit at the feet of Jesus, to hear His Word, to make the Word of God a priority. And it'll lead you to the right perception of what's going on. You'll be able to make good choices. And those good choices will lead you to that beautiful place. And you'll become not only greatly blessed of God, you'll become a great blessing. Let's stand to our feet and bow our heads for a word of prayer. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, you obey the Lord.